As you know, Pastor's visiting family today, and that's very important because family is the center of God's plan for us, and it's what we can draw on, and it's a rock we can have. So it's important that we visit family and we spend time with him. So we need to be praying for him as he's traveling back. He'll be traveling back later on today, so keep him in your prayers. And also, I want to take a moment to that we make sure that we lift the Scott family up in prayer this week for Joanne and the families that are going through that. We know Roger's, he's singing in heaven right now. He's praising the Lord, and he's, you know, and Roger was such a special man. I thought the world of Roger, and he was such, I even told him one time, I said, Roger, you're my mentor, because all the things he went through, he always had a positive attitude, a smile on his face, and I could go to him, he would listen to you, he would talk with you about things going on. He was in part of the men's group, and we just had a very, very, I had such a positive aspect of that day. So I kind of want to dedicate today's sermon to Roger, because I think he would have enjoyed this, what we're going to be talking about today. God wants to bless you. God wants you to do well. God wants you to prosper. He wants you to have a fulfilled life. He wants you to have these things. And sometimes we sabotage ourselves, though, and we counter the blessing that God wants to give us, and I'm going to describe that a little bit. And believe it or not, it's what's so neat about the Word is you can read it one time and get something out of it. You can read it again and get something else out of it. And I got a whole different perspective on blessings by reading it again over and studying it about how God and his perspective on blessings are. And it's sometimes different than ours. I know it's a little different than what I thought. So what we're going to talk is, I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Like Steve was talking, you know, when you get older, you get the bifocals. You got to move the thing around differently. So if you see me moving my Bible around, it's because I'm trying to focus. If you've got there, which of your fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Or give good gifts. God wants to bless you with good gifts. But we have to understand that blessings are God's way of showing his love. God loves you so much that he wants to bless you. But to bless you, you have to be open to him. And the only way we can receive God's blessing is when we have a relationship with God. We have to have that relationship, not a knowledge. The devil has a knowledge of God. But we have to have a relationship. And we know the only way we can have that relationship is through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That's the only way we can have it. It says it in the Word. Only by him can we come to the Father. So that relationship's developed through that. So we have to have a relationship. But it talks about even from the first part of the Bible. So if we want to go to Deuteronomy 7. Okay. Deuteronomy 7. I'll give you some time to get there. If I get too much of it in a hurry, just holler. Say, hey, you're going too fast. I've been known to do that. Deuteronomy 7, 12. Through 14. It says, if you pay attention to these laws and are careful to follow them, then the Lord your God will keep his covenant of love with you, as he swore to your forefathers. He will love you and bless you and increase your numbers. He will bless the fruit of your womb and the crops of your land, your grain, new wine, and oil, the calves of your herd and the lambs of your flocks in that land he swore to you, your forefathers. You will be blessed more than any other people. None of your men or women will be childless, or any of your livestock without young. God shows us in that verse that he wants to bless us. But the problem we have is we have a tendency to deviate or turn from God. We get caught up in the cares of the world. We are caught up in what's going on. And you find out, if you take a look at the history of the Israelite people, they were constantly straying. You know, they were constantly going away from the Lord. And the Lord laid it out really simple. He made it simple. Follow my commands and I will bless you. See, and you say, well, and this is where I had dealt with the blessing thing. Blessings, you got to be careful that you don't put the I in the blessing, because there's no I in blessing either. If I do this, this, and this, God's going to bless me. No, that's not how it works. God, blessings are a gift, and the gift comes from our relationship with Jesus Christ. God wants from the beginning, what did he want? Fellowship. He wanted you to spend time with him. He wanted you to take your cares before him. He wanted to take everything in your life and be a part of him. And that's what we talked about, following the commands. The commands are things God gave us, not to punish us, not to put us under a bunch of guidelines and rules. These commands were to give us a good life. So if we follow these commands, God can bless us and give us a good life. So that's what he wanted to do on that. So fellowship with will give us the desire to follow his commands and do his will. We should follow his commands and his will because of our love for him, not because it's a requirement. If you do it as a requirement, and if you do it because God says you have to do this and this, you're going to miss the whole boat. You're going to miss the whole thing, because you're going to put I in there. If I do this, God will bless me. If I do this, God will bless me. And that's not what God said. God said, if you follow me, follow what I have for you to do, I want to bless you. I want to give you good gifts. And you know, as a parent, if your kids are doing the things you want them to do, don't you want to bless them and help them? You want to do for them. And if they're not, if they're falling away, you still love them, but it's going to be very hard to bless them because they're falling away. And that's the same with God. If you're falling away, it's very hard for him to bless you. Okay? Let's look at Psalms 32, verse 1 and 2. It's a little bit more about what we're talking about, what blessings hinge upon, and why blessings are one of those things that Psalms 32, we'll get there. I went past it. Psalms 32, we're getting there. If I get the right page. Okay, Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not commit, count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. God looks at your heart. And God wants to forgive you of your sins, but you have to take them before him. And one of the things that will rob us of our blessing is when we have unforgiven sin, that we don't take the sins before God, our transgressions before him. So you need to take your transgressions before the Lord and get them cleared and get them taken care of. When you do that, God wants to bless you. And he wants to give you the things of your heart and desires of your heart. And God does want to give the desires of your heart. You know, sometimes we want to try to say, oh, we got to live a poverty life, or we got to do this, or we got to do this, or we got to suffer for all. No, that's not what God wants. God wants you to be blessed. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to do well while you're on this earth. Because, you know, that's if you read that word, you see where he's always wanted to do that for you. So you have to get your, I'm going to be talking a lot about getting your life in order. Today you have to get your life, and today is the day you need to do it. You need to do it every day. Getting your life in order before God and making sure that you've asked him to, you know, your sins be forgiven. Is there anything I've done wrong that I need to have corrected? And this should be a daily process. It's not one thing you do one time in your life and you forget it. Now, God's covered you with the blood, and you don't have to worry about going to heaven, because he always said he's prepared a place for you. Remember what God said, that he's went up to prepare a place for when you come? We know he's prepared a place for Roger now. Roger's got a place singing with the angels beside God. I mean, he's rejoicing in the Lord right now because God prepared a place for him, and he's got that. And he's done that for you too. As soon as you accepted Jesus Christ, he's in the process of preparing a place for you. So when your time comes and the realities of life, and we all know this, that 10 out of 10 people will go home to be with the Lord. That is just a given. I mean, it's not a, you know, as I get older, I kind of come under that realization, you know, my life is not as long as it was when I was 20. When I was 20, I was looking at a long time. I'm 62 now. 62, you're not looking at quite as long, you know, because you know your time is coming. You're going to go home to be with the Lord, and you're going to be in His presence. And that's such a wonderful thing that we can be in His presence, that we can be with Him. We can be in His presence on this earth with our devotions daily, with our time spent with Him. And you can spend that time all day long. You don't have to be down by your bed praying or all that. You can converse with the Lord anytime during the day. He's open 24/7, 365 days a year. God never closes, so He's always there. You can always pray. You can always be there with Him. So remember that God is always there for you. Okay, I want to go to John 1. Just John, not just John, Don, just plain old John. So if I get you to 1 John, you'll think I'm heading there, but I'm not. I'm just going to John. John 1, 14 through 17. It's up here a little bit better. The word of the Lord, the word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning Him. He cries out, saying, "This was the one whom He have said, 'He comes from me, after me, has surpassed me because He was before me.' From the fullness of the grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is the Father's side, made Him known." Okay? The Word became flesh in Jesus Christ. The Word came down to us. We could have it. And we could infill it within our hearts. That's why it's so important that we're in the Word, that we're studying the Word, and that we know what the Word says to us. Because like I kept want to bring up on blessings, blessings are not an I thing. Don't think that if I do this, this, and this, God is going to bless me. That's not how God set it up. Blessings are a gift, just like any other gift that God gives you. You can't earn it. Some people think, well, if I work really hard and I really put my mind to it, I can do this. No, you can't. I can tell you from firsthand experience, it can't be done, because God doesn't work that way. What God wants is that relationship you have with Him every day, where you're talking to Him, you're honoring Him, you're thanking Him, and you're giving Him glory, because He is God. You got to remember, God loves you, but He is still God. He is still a sovereign God. And He does things that we don't understand sometimes. He's done things that I don't understand, because He's God. And God can do what God can do. We're not God. You don't want to be God. I can guarantee you, you don't want to be God. I mean, that is an awesome awesome thing. But He has it under control, and He knows everything. Sometimes we don't. We get, maybe I'm the only one, but sometimes I wonder about things. I don't know if anybody else does, but I wonder why certain things happen certain ways. Don't really make sense to me, but that's not for me to have to make sense of. It's for me to follow and to trust Him, to know that He has the way. All things work for the glory to those who love God, to love Jesus Christ. We may not understand why they're happening. We may not understand the timing. I don't understand the timing. I see timing sometimes and it doesn't make sense to me. I said, why didn't God do this now instead of doing it, you know? But He is in control. He knows the timing. He knows when it should be done. So now I want to get more into the actual message I was really going to prepare from the start. And I'm going to jump on up to Matthew 5, and we're going to talk about the Beatitudes. I don't know if you guys know, everybody knows the Beatitudes, and I like that. I go back to this a lot because I think it's very important. But you need to, when we talk about it, we need to dissect it a little bit and see what it actually says. Because sometimes we get too quickly, we just say, "Oh, this is the way what it does." But we're going to start out. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes you think, well, does that mean that I don't need to study the works? I'm supposed to be poor in spirit, and I'm supposed to be... No, not at all. What it means is you should be studying the Word. You should have knowledge of the Word, but it shouldn't be self-righteousness. That's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. Remember? They studied the Word. They knew the Word back, forward, and forward. They knew the Torah. That. But you know what? They weren't trusting God with it. They were trusting their own understanding of it. They weren't going in and saying, God, I need you. I like what Amy Stewart said the other day, and I thought it was really a good word. Take time to just wait upon the Lord. Sometimes we want to answer our questions and answer our own questions. And guys are real bad about this. Guys are notorious for wanting to solve every problem. They want to solve everything. They want to fix everything. Guys are, you know, maybe I'm the only guys like that, but we want to fix everything. We want to make everything right. You know, sometimes you just can't fix it. You got to give it to God, and you got to wait upon Him to give you the answer. And you may wait a while. Some people will wait a lifetime for the answer to a prayer or something they have, but they're still waiting on God. So give that time to wait upon God and not make it me. The key we have a tendency to is to make it me. And that's what God said was so, blessed are the poor in spirit, because they're relying on God. They're relying on the Spirit of God to see them through. They're not relying on their own self-worth. So poor of spirit doesn't mean that you don't know the Word. It doesn't mean you don't pray. It means that you're relying on God. Okay? Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And I think that's important today that we realize that everybody's going to mourn. We're all going to go through it. Right now, we're mourning the loss of one of our brothers on this earth. We know that he's now in heaven, but we're mourning the loss on this earth because we're going to all miss Roger. I'm going to miss him back there doing sound. That was always such a joy to see him back there. You're doing that sound, and you could always get a smile. He'd always have an encouraging word. He was a blessed man that really touched the hearts of all of us, and he will be sorely missed. Because he, like I say, because of the man he was. But the thing we have and the knowledge we have is we know that he's in a better place, that he's in no pain now, no suffering. And we also know that God blessed him richly too, because he did not suffer a lot of pain or anguish on this earth during his illness. And that's really unusual. So it is a blessing for him that he did not have to go through anything like that. He was, you know, very peaceful. And I talked to him. Last time I saw him was Thursday. I talked to him a little bit. And he still was pleasant and very, you know, you just could sense that peace, that knowing that he certain, you know, that knowing that he truly had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I think that's something so important that we can sense that in people. Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you love him? Is he part of your life? Or is he, and I say, I always get this thing of, we don't ever want Jesus to become an add-on. We don't want Jesus to be an overcoat where you just throw him on Sunday morning when you come to church. Don't do that. Jesus should be with you every day of the week, Monday through Sunday. You know, we know people that, and it's sad, we know people that go to church on Sunday and you see them and all, they're wonderful and all that stuff, and then through the week, you kind of wish you didn't know them. Because they're not living for the Lord. They're just doing their own thing. I always ask this too. What is your life like? How do you treat the cashier at Kroger's? How do you treat the cashier at Walmart? How do you treat the person, your bank teller? How do you treat the people? I mean, are you kind to them? When things don't go exactly right, do you holler at them? Do you get mad at them? Or do you love on them and just say, okay, it's okay. We all make mistakes. Things happen. Honesty and integrity, another one I really always stressed. If you go to the store and somebody gives you more change than what you're supposed to have and you know it, do you make it right? Or do you just say, oh, well, I got extra money. Good. I got that in my pocket. Those are things that we have to make sure that we get. And this is what I call about following the commands of God. God gives us basic commands on how to live, and we have to follow those. Okay. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I always had a struggle with this one. Maybe everybody else. Meek. Does that mean we're supposed to be just back in the background and all that stuff? And that's not what that means. What that means, that we're meek before God. In other words, we're humble before God, and we realize the hierarchy. God is above us, way above us. We're humans. So God is up there, we're down here. So we have to be meek before God. But does that mean you're meek in life? No. We all got different personalities. We all got different things we do. We got some people that are boisterous and loud, and we got other people that are quiet and in the background, and that God made that way. So I'm not talking about people relationship. That doesn't mean you're meek and hiding behind the chair underneath the table or whatever. The meek we're talking about is a meekness before God. But God could call you to do great and wonderful things. God may call you to go out and be a minister. He may call you to go out and be an evangelist. He may call you to go out and be somebody that just sets the world on fire. Really, for the Lord. I'm not for it, but sets the world on fire for the Lord. He may call you to do that. And so you say, well, I got to be meek. No, you don't. But you just have to be meek before our Father in heaven and trust him. And the next one, blessed are the merciful, for they shall show mercy. How many in here have made a mistake this week? Can I see hands? Made a mistake this week. Did something stupid. Okay, I hope every hand's up because I know my hand's up. I'm good at doing stupid stuff. Doing little mistakes, you know. We'd all do stupid things. What we got to be careful with, what we got to be careful is that we understand that other people make mistakes too. And we're not ready to jump down somebody's throat the first time they make a mistake. It's not the first time they did something. You know, we as spouses, husbands, we got to make sure that if our wife makes a mistake, that we're not ready to jump down their throat, holler at them, scream at them. Never happened, has it? No. Nah, it never happens. We got to make sure, but we really strive to these. These are things we strive for. These are things we do in our lives that we work towards. Are we there yet? No. I'm not there. I'm far from it. My wife will tell you that. She'll say, yeah, I got, you know, she knows I got my quirks. We do our little, you know, we don't always are polite and nice to each other. Not always. Sometimes there are times we say little things and afterwards we go, well, that was stupid. Like we were talking out there in the foyer a little bit ago. Us husbands, sometimes we'll have something come out of our mouth and we'll go, ooh, why did I say that? I need to get that one back. I shouldn't let that one go. But, you know, we're human. Like Pastor was talking about last week, we're all human beings in this world supporting each other. So we have to learn to be merciful, forgiving of others that do things wrong with us. Because how can God forgive us if we can't forgive others? That's a basic principle. It's a basic solid thing that you have to do. It's not even an option. Now, why I'm saying these things, as we do these things, God will want to bless us because he is a father. As we read that first scripture, he wants to do good things for us. So he wants to bless you. But we also have to do some things that so we can keep our relationship with him. When I'm talking about these things, it's to keep our relationship with God, not to receive blessings, but to keep our relationship with God in a sound basis. So we need to be merciful with others. We be ready to forgive them. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I can't see in your heart. It's not my capability. I don't want to do that. I'm not God. I don't want to see in your heart. But God knows your heart. He knows what's down in here. You can put covering over, you can glaze it over, you can let people up. Everybody in the world may think you're the most wonderful person in the world, but if your heart's not right with God, it doesn't matter. Because I say all of us can be good at hiding our true feelings, our inside feelings. We can make a covering over it. We can say, oh well, you know, this is how I feel, but really down in, that's not how you feel. So you got to work on that. And like I say, this is all a work in progress. You're never going to get there till you go home to be with the Lord. You're going to be working in progress. You're going to be constantly refining these things and seeking a better relationship with Jesus Christ. You're going to constantly do this. It doesn't end in one little time I get, you know, people get saved, and that's great and wonderful. And God gives us a place in heaven. And he gives us, but we need to develop that relationship on a constant basis, never quitting. You know, I'm reached 62 and I say, oh, by the way, I'm done. I don't have to do anything more. No, I'm going to be the time till God takes me to be with him. I'm going to be getting closer to him, trying to find out more of him, more of his love, more of a relationship with him. And it's all about, I'm really stressing the relationship today, because the relationship is what matters. You know, it's not the other stuff, it's the relationship. What is your relationship with God right now? What is in your heart? You know, are we holding malice towards others? Are we holding anger towards others? Are we bottling up those things? Are we letting them go and giving them to him? Those are things that, what is in your heart today? And that's something you and only you can do, because you're the one that looks in the mirror. It's not me. I look in my own mirror. I see my own old face, kind of homely old face. But anyway, I see my face. And, you know, as I get older, I notice that too. It looks different. And that's what's so important about our relationships with people and everything, that we want to develop good relationships with people. So with that, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. God wants us to be peacemakers. He wants us to work with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. He wants us to have unity. Unity is so important in the church and a body. That we may, and when I talk about unity, we may not agree on all the little details of life. We may not agree on everything that goes on, but we have an overall unity within the body, that we all know the most important thing we want in this church is to reach souls for Jesus Christ. That is our number one command. It is what we do, why we're here, is we're to reach lost souls that are searching for something. They're searching for a way of life that is. And I'm going to tell you right now, from a person who's, I got saved in 1975, long time ago for you guys. I got saved in 1975. It's the best thing that ever happened in my life, because I came to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. And this has been a good ride. I'm not going to tell anybody. I married a wonderful woman. We've had a good life together. God's blessed us. Have we made mistakes? Yes. Have we faltered? Yes. But overall, we've done pretty doggone good. I'm going to admit it. And it's not because of me, not because of her. It's because of us trying to follow God to the best of our ability, trying to live according to what his word says. And that's the key, is trying to live it the best that you can. And what day do you start doing that? And you say, well, I messed up in my past. So what? This is a new day. We start today. You can't bring back the past. You can't change what happened yesterday. Those days are gone. You can't bring them back. No matter what you try to do, you cannot change the past. Nobody's capable of it. But you can change today going forward. You can say, God, I want to be with you. I want to have that relationship, and I want to follow you. So that's that. And we can be peacemakers in the sense that we have the unity that we have within our body. Because the unity is how we can go out into this world and take it on, really. Because as we know, the world is a changing place right now. We're coming into, in our world, especially in this country right now, I call it becoming very liberal mindset, that anything goes, whatever you do is acceptable. You can go out and do anything, and as long as you think it's right, it's okay. And that's not what God said. God laid out some very, very strict principles on certain areas that you can't do. Because if you do them, you will suffer dire consequences. Lifestyles is one of them. You can only do certain lifestyles are just not acceptable. I mean, we can sit and whitewash it and say all the things we want to do, but they really are not acceptable in God's sight. And drug abuse, another one. People do it, and we pray for them. We pray for deliverance for them. But if you get into drugs, you're not going to be in the will of God, and you're not going to be functioning. You're going to suffer the consequences. I mean, you know, I learned that a long time ago. I've learned one thing, and this is what I learned when I was younger, because when I first got saved, before I got saved, I was into drinking, and that's a drug. It's a mind-altering drug. We want to say what it is, but it's a mind-altering drug. And I was into binge drinking on weekends. I hadn't got to full alcoholic status yet, but I was still into binge drinking, and I was into those things. And I realized that if I kept that up, my life was going to go downhill. It definitely wasn't going to go uphill. I was going to suffer many consequences, and I was thankful that God delivered me from that. Right after I got saved, I had no desire for alcohol anymore. It was gone, and I thank the God for that. But there's also other drugs. We're talking about all the mind-altering drugs. We need to stay away from all mind-altering drugs. And a big thing now about marijuana, it bugs me, is it's okay. No, it's not. It's a mind-altering drug. It should only be, if there's some medical purposes from it, from the oils and stuff that can be used like any other drug that's not mind-altering, I can see that, but I cannot see it being used as a mind-altering to make me feel good. If it makes you feel good, it's a problem. Because you know who should make us feel good? Jesus. You got it. Jesus is our mind-altering. He's the one that gives us that joy, euphoria in life, not artificial drugs. I always told my doctor, I was very specific. I said, the only medicine I want to take is that I have to take for a condition. If I don't have to take it for a condition, I don't want it. I don't want something that makes me feel good, that makes me feel that I don't want that stuff, because I know that's going to affect my relationship with him. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Everybody's not going to like you. Get that out of your head. You think, I'm just kind and nice and I love the Lord and everybody's going to love me. No, they're not. Because some people, you are a conviction. They see you and you're just this big thing in their eyes that says, by the way, look what they're doing. They're convicting me. And you are a form of conviction. You're sitting there and you're that convicting spirit that comes upon them. And they're not going to want to be around you because you're not doing what they do. I mean, you're not into the party scene. You're not into the especially you young guys, you have to realize that. You know, you got to stay away from the party scene. Party scene's not going to make it. It's going to get you in trouble. I can attest to that from realities of life. It'll just get you in trouble. You need to fellowship with other believers, other fellow Christians. You need to stay away from that source. And yes, you do have to change your friends when you get saved. Yep. You got to do it because those same ones are going to drag you down because they're going to, because you're in a vulnerable stage when you first get saved. I know, I remember, believe it or not, I actually do have a memory. I remember those days when I first got saved, and, people flinging this at you and flinging that at you, and you're wondering, what am I supposed to do, and where am I supposed to do, and how am I supposed to live? Well, if you go to those people that you knew before, they're not going to give you the advice you need. You need to go to new brothers and sisters in the Lord, and even us old codgers, us old people, believe it or not, we do have a few words of wisdom. I mean, I know that, sometimes it's kind of hard to listen to an old guy. You think, oh, he's just an old guy. But we do have a few words of wisdom. So you are going to be persecuted. And blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And persecution is nothing new. It's nothing that happens to just you. Some people think, well, I'm the only one. And, get into your pity party. Everybody got into their pity parties before. Or am I the only one that had pity parties? Where woe is me. Everybody's against me. Everybody's this, that, and all that. And, and you just go, oh, and you just get down. And, that's part of life. just remember, you're not the only one. Everyone's done it. We've all had it. That's when we seek God again. And that's what I'm talking about. Relationship. Relationship, relationship. We seek God and we say, God, I need help. I'm suffering in the doldrums right now. I got a week, and we have them. We have days where we're just down and we want to say, oh boy, I want to be rejoicing. You're supposed to say, oh, I'm supposed to rejoice all the time. No, come on. That's not real life. There's going to be days when you're going to be down. Things are going to bug you more than other days. That's when we go back to the relationship with our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we rely on him and call upon him. I know I'm stressing this, but I'm really pushing this relationship thing because I think it's so important. And then we go down to verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Pastor's been talking about that we need to show our light. We need to show who we are as the believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians. We need to let people know that we got something special. We got something we can tell everybody about. If it isn't something special, are you going to go out and tell people about it? No. But if it is something special in your heart, you're going to let people know that God really does these things and he really cares for me. And is it easy? No. Because all of us have that little thing inside of us that we don't like rejection. And I think that's just kind of a nature thing, that we don't like to be rejected by other people. We want to be accepted by everybody. Well, it's not going to happen. You are going to get rejected. You are going to not be accepted by other people. When you tell somebody about the word, they may just ignore you, or they may give you the platitudes. We've all had the platitudes. You know, somebody, you talk to them about the Lord, and they say, well, yeah, I'll be at church next Sunday, and never come. You never see them. They're giving you platitudes. They're basically putting you up. But don't be discouraged by that. Realize that's really, they're the ones that's going to be accountable to God, because you gave them the message. You gave them the word. It's up to them to either accept the word or not accept the word. Because God gave us that free will, to we can either accept him or not accept him. We can either follow his commands or not follow his commands. He's not going to make you do these things. He's not going to make you live a righteous life. He won't do it. You got to do it on your own through him, through his strength. You got to be willing to say, yes, I will do this. And then God give you the strength then to do it. But he's not going to force you. God has never forced anybody to do that, because then it wouldn't be fellowship. If I said, you've got to come to my house, you've got to be on my doorstep, and you've got to be there, and you will do it, would that be fellowship? No. That would be bondage. It would be slavery. It wouldn't be fellowship. Fellowship's freedom, that we can do this because we want to, not because we have to. We want to be a fellowship with Jesus Christ. We want to be with him. Not because we have to, not because we feel that way, because that would be bondage. And I don't think anybody here would want that. They want that fellowship to be freedom, the freedom to converse back and forth. That's what we're after. We want that fellowship. Okay? A bit out of my order here. Get my notes back. We need to be seeking the path God wants us to go down. And it's different for everybody. God has a path for each and every one of us he wants to go. And he has a plan for each one of you, if you're willing to follow that plan. And it's not always, you may not be the great evangelist, or you may not be the great, you may be the father that takes care of his children and makes sure they're taken care of. You may be the mother that raises the children and making sure that they're raised in a proper way, that they'll be good citizens, be good people, be good God-loving people that will love. That may be what your call is to be. You know, not everybody is going to be called to do your name out. Everybody wants that 15 minutes fame. You've always heard that. Want their 15 minutes in lights. Who cares? It's gone. All we care about is how we're serving God. Because fame is fleeting. You know, it's gone. You know, it's not important. You know, it's like you're just, if you're doing what God wants you to do, it can be the simple things in life. Loving your neighbor, loving your family, caring for your family, making sure your family's taken. I know me as a husband and that, I want to make sure that Laura's taken care of. I want to make sure that if anything happens to me, I know that she will be taken care of. That's part of what I feel that I should do. And the same with that. It'd be the wife making sure the husband's taken care of. It could be the brother or sister watching over their brother or sister, you know, helping them out in time of trouble. So what path does God have for you? Your path may be working a job in a factory, working whatever it may be, providing an income for your loved ones, and there's nothing wrong with that. Those are all noble and good things. You may be running a business. You may be doing all these things. And those are things you should be doing. It's your chosen path. And if you do that and following God's will, God does want to bless you. And he wants you to prosper and do well. And showing mercy to others, we talked a little bit about that. Not quick to judge. And how is your heart? We should do those things. Those showing God love to promote unity within the brethren and sisters. We make sure that we keep unity within the church. The devil will use disunity as quick as anything. When we start bickering among ourselves, that's when the devil can come in. We need to realize that, yes, we're not going to agree on everything. I'm not stressing this again. We're not going to agree on everything. We don't. That's just human nature. Husband and wife don't agree on everything. But you work it out. Well, like when, I'll give you a good example of working it out. Laura and I, we're doing a utility room addition. And she saw this on the internet, which kind of surprised me. Anybody heard of a dog shower? I didn't know there one existed. What's a dog shower? So she showed me the dog shower. Well, first thing I was like, you got to be kidding. We're not putting no dog shower in, you know. But believe it or not, we discussed it and we talked about it. We went over it. And guess what we found place for? A dog shower. So we're going to have a dog shower in our utility room. So that's working things out. It's like that. And that's the way it should be in the church. You may not always agree with what we do. You may see things and you go, why in the world did they do that? But really, there's a reason why things are done. And even if you don't agree with it, you still promote the unity in that body. So we got to stress the unity within the body. And we are, and yes, we are getting a dog shower so we can wash the dog. So those things happen. Okay. What I want to close with today is getting your heart right with Jesus Christ. If you have aught in your life, and you know in your heart if it's right or not. You know if you're serving God or you're not serving God. You know down in there. But I want you to today, we're going to take a moment here, and I'm going to want everybody to close their eyes, and we're going to pray, and I'm going to, and if your heart isn't right with God, somebody will pray with you this morning so you can make your heart right with God. So let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we could gather together today. And we thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon our lives as our relationship with you grows and becomes stronger. We just thank you for that. And Lord, if there's anybody in here this morning that their heart is not right with you, that they have not got everything together and they want to come to you, Lord, this is the day to do it. Don't put it off, but come before him because he loves you and he cares for you. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord, and we give you the glory. Thank you, Lord, for this day you've given us. We praise you and thank you. You guys can all, we thank God in Jesus' name, amen.